This is where Minnesota turns for live team coverage of breaking news. News Radio 830, WCCO, WCCO HD, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Marathon bombing manhunt intensifies.
Turn yourself in!
Answering questions about a terror connection.
The investigators say they've not connected the brothers to any terror group, either foreign or domestic.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jim Taylor. Boston Marathon bombing, one suspect killed, his brother the subject of a massive manhunt in Watertown. There are reports of shots there now. Here's CBS News correspondent Bob Orr.
Officials do believe that Johar Tsarnaev is somewhere still in that cordoned off 20-block area. Police believe the man is on foot and likely hiding because there have been no new reports of any car thefts in the area, so the assumption is he's still there. But at the same time, investigators taking no chances are casting a wider net. They're monitoring highways and transit centers.
Orr says there's no indication of any ties to organized terror, however.
The plot was expertly conceived and executed. They managed to buy the bomb-making materials, they built the devices, and they managed to sneak away from the bombing scene, all undetected. Veteran investigators we've been talking to who have watched the surveillance tapes were struck by the men's cool precision in planting the bombs and then in making the escapes.
The FBI now says it interviewed the dead suspect, Tamerlan Tsarnaev, 2 years ago, found nothing suspicious, closed the file. Who are these brothers? CBS's Jim Axelrod.
The family of ethnic Chechens arrived in Cambridge, fleeing violence in their homeland. Johar Tsarnaev came to America as a young boy in September 2002. He gained lawful resident status in February of 2007 and became an American citizen in 2012 on September 11th.
In Russia, this is the father of the fugitive, says his son is like an angel. Also in Russia, the boy's mother.
My two sons are really innocent, and I know that neither of them never has talked about whatever they're saying about now.
The suspect's uncle lives in Maryland, encourages the fugitive to turn himself in.
He put a shame on the our family, Tsarnaev's family. He put a shame on the entire Chechen ethnicity.
The suspect's acquaintances are saying,
I said to myself, he looks very familiar, but like it wasn't right away because Johar was so friendly and nice going. I wouldn't connect A and B that he would be a possible terrorist or even hurt a fly.
Andrew Glasby lives in the same UMass Dartmouth dormitory as the suspect, says he ran into Johar Tsarnaev on campus the day after the deadly bombing.
It's just like crazy how he can just be so cool and calm tempered like that. He just acted like nothing happened.
From CBS's Bob Schieffer.
Here's a kid that sets off these bombs apparently and then is on a college campus yesterday talking to people as if it's just a fine spring day. Is he a person of totally no conscience?
Johar Tsarnaev attending the school partially funded by a City of Boston scholarship.
From the WCCO News Center.
This is Adam Carter in the WCCO Radio Newsroom. As you heard just there at the tail end of the CBS World News Roundup, some developments apparently in this days-long manhunt for this 19-year-old bombing suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing. Shots fired apparently in Watertown, Massachusetts, where that hunt has been going on all day for this 19-year-old suspect. What is going on is yet to be clear, but obviously some developments. Let's go live now to CBS News for a special report.
CBS News special report. I'm Tom Foti. There are late developments at this hour in Watertown, Massachusetts, near Boston. CBS News senior correspondent John Miller.
There are preliminary reports of shots fired and a report of a man who had been hiding in a boat in a backyard.
This after the head of the state police essentially announced a stand down in that town in the search for the surviving suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing. But now correspondent Don Naylor reports from Watertown.
People here heard a number of gunshots and the police just sprang into action. Cars squealed out of the staging area there, headed in that direction. There is currently a massive police presence at Franklin Street. And I can tell you one of our people was on the phone with someone who lives in that neighborhood. And he suddenly said, come to my neighborhood, Dexter and Laurel, the corner of Dexter and Laurel. There are gunshots being fired right here, right now. As you said, things appear to have calmed down for a little bit, but they have ramped up now. We're hearing that ambulances were dispatched, and there is a number of police cars headed that way, a lot of activity going. It's perhaps not even a half mile from where we are right now, and definitely within that 20-square-block search area that police have been pouring over all day long.
CBS's Don Daler in Watertown, Massachusetts. Again, gunshots reportedly heard there in the manhunt for that 19-year-old immigrant who is wanted in connection with the Boston Marathon bombing. CBS News Special Report, I'm Tom Foti.
Developments in the search for the marathon bombing suspect, shots fired in Watertown, Massachusetts. Let's go live to CBS.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Peter King. After a day-long lockdown in the Boston area just moments ago,
there are preliminary reports of shots fired and a report of a man who had been hiding in a boat in a backyard.
Reporters in Watertown heard shots indeed. They saw police vehicles moving quickly. CBS News correspondent Don Daler is there.
People here heard a number of gunshots and the police just sprang into action. Cars squealed out of the staging area there, headed in that direction. There is currently a massive police presence at Franklin Street, and I can tell you one of our people was on the phone with someone who lives in that neighborhood, and he suddenly said, come to my neighborhood, Dexter and Laurel, the corner of Dexter and Laurel. There are gunshots being fired right here, right now.
WBZ-TV's Karen Anderson.
All of a sudden, you could hear gunfire, and now you can almost smell the aftermath of it. There was several seconds of gunfire. Then I heard over a state police radio a report of gunfire.
But, and I stress, but, we don't know if it means police have found suspected Boston bomber Choher Tsarnaev. Relatives like his parents and this aunt can't believe that he would be a suspect.
Evidence, guys. Show me evidence. I don't trust FBI. I don't trust any agency. Show me evidence.
Tsarnaev's older brother was killed in the shootout last night. CBS's Bob Orr with more on him.
We have now learned that the FBI did make contact with Tamarlan Tsarnaev, the older brother, in 2011. Turns out that a foreign government concerned about his possible extremist ties asked the FBI to interview the man. So agents did meet with him, and they determined at that time that he presented no threat.
Again, the news right now, shots fired within the last few minutes in the Watertown neighborhood, which has been the subject of a day-long door-to-door search. Boston area no longer under lockdown, but people are being told to be vigilant. CBS News Special Report, I'm Peter King.
WCCO News Time 6:22, shots fired, and apparently, as we heard there on that CBS News Special Report, somebody apparently hiding in a boat led to these shots fired. We're going to go now into long-form CBS News coverage as this situation develops.
We now go back to correspondent Scott Pelley and John Miller.
Police encountered the men. The men killed a campus police officer for the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, killed him in his police car. Then they led Boston police and federal agents on a chase through the northern suburbs, throwing bombs back at the pursuing police cars and firing on them. When that chase came to a stop, there was a firefight in which more than 200 rounds were expended. One of the suspects, Tamarlan Tsarnaev, 26 years old, was killed in that firefight. A police officer was gravely wounded in that firefight. He's in the hospital fighting for his life after surgery today. All day long, they have been looking for Tsarnaev's younger brother, the 19-year-old Jokhar Tsarnaev, also one of the bombing suspects. He fled the firefight last night on foot and has been the subject of an intense manhunt all day long in this part of Boston. These young men spent the early part of their lives in Russia.
You're listening to continuing coverage of from CBS News of the events in Watertown, Massachusetts, where within the past hour, half hour, there has been an exchange of gunfire. Police have spotted a man on a boat that's stored in a backyard in Watertown. They now have that area surrounded, and they're trying to determine who that person is, whether that person is dead or alive. And we rejoin WBZ-TV in Boston.
We will have some answers before too long.
And Jim, let's bring you back in, because I know you're sort of hanging out there behind a tree, hopefully a big thick tree, let's hope, and give us an idea, because now this is going to be what, like, we've been seeing throughout the last, I guess, 24 hours. I can't even keep track of it anymore. But at some point, you know, when something happens and the stand down order is given, perhaps the suspect has either killed himself or he's been killed, it takes a while. There's a long time that'll transpire, so we may not know that for a while, even if that were to have happened right now.
No, I think that's an excellent point, Jonathan. I mean, we don't know
in what condition the suspect is, if in fact there is a suspect under the boat, as described. You know, the events all just happened so quickly in the past few minutes with the mad rush over here and the tremendous, tremendous police response. But in the past 10 minutes or so, nothing has changed. There are now half a dozen, 10 officers standing in front of me. They literally haven't shifted their feet. They're standing completely still, and they haven't moved in about the past 10 minutes or so. So we could, as terrible as it sounds for all involved, be in the process of what could just be another very long standoff.
Well, and here's the other part of this, too. Again, and that if this suspect, let's just say he is dead, say in that shootout they killed him, they're not going to go near this body for quite a while. They'll send explosive ordnance, or they'll even send one of those robots in to take a look at things, because if he's wearing a vest, the last thing any of those officers want to do, especially after this long of searching and this long of really putting their lives on the line looking for this guy, the last thing they want to do is slip up if he's got some sort of booby trap or trigger attached to him. They don't want to go in there and have that happen.
Jonathan, there is movement now. I can see, and I was describing those three or four triple-deckers behind which the officers were hiding. They're moving now. I see them running in one direction, and now they're running very, very fast in another direction. 2, 4, 6, 8, they are running back. I can't tell. It's like they're running down a hill. For a minute, they were running between the two homes. Now they're running back down the hill and taking shelter behind a retaining wall. I'm sorry, say that again, Jim? How do you know that? Okay, so photographer Jim O'Halloran, looking through the viewfinder of our camera, which affords a much better look than I do, says it appears that they took four people in plain clothes. They look like they've been evacuated, and they've run them behind a retaining wall, so they are now taking shelter, it appears, with police as well.
Let me ask you something, Jim, and I know you may have to ask Jim this as well. When they moved them, where were they? Were they inside a house? Were they outside? Do we have any idea?
Hal, where were those people before they went with the police? Did you see? I'm sorry, say it again. Okay, they actually look like they may have been outside, and that is the problem that I was going to mention to you. There are some people, here they are, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, oh my gosh, it's children. It's an adult and a couple of teenagers, maybe someone in their early, it's an adult with three young adults.
And that's the hard part of this, Jim, is you hear a lot of gunfire going off and the immediate reaction, it's just human nature. You want to know what's going on. Perhaps you look out the window, maybe even you go outside. And again, folks in Watertown, we've been trying to tell you this last night, in the middle of the night, tell you again, stay inside, stay away from the side of the house where this is taking place. Go to the other side. Put as many walls, as many things between you and what's happening out there. Trust us when we tell you, it is a shooting. There is a very active, very dangerous situation that is playing out right now. You can get all the info you need right here on TV. Just trust us. Stay away from that. The last thing anybody wants is anybody getting hurt, especially kids that might be out playing, heard this and ran out. And again, you can't fault them. They've been cooped up all day. They've been told to stay inside. They get an opportunity. They lift that order. And then the next thing you know, there's this. Are they not, Jim, are they all to safety now? They got them completely out of the way, out of the line of fire?
They're all out of safety, Jonathan. Yeah, they ran them towards us. And but to your point, they're off to safety now. They're back now towards Arsenal Street. They're being escorted by police there. But, I mean, right next to where I'm standing right now, some people have just found their way back here, civilians who are curious, which is it's a problem for police. The people next to us are far enough back. I see one guy holding a scanner, right? So it's someone listening to this at home who wants to be a part of it, which is, as you were just saying, just about the dumbest thing you can possibly do.
All right. I mean,
people have come out.
From everything we're understanding, if you're in this neighborhood, the best thing you can do is move away from the windows, move to the center of your home. Don't come outside. I was going to ask you, Jim, because you do have an eye on some of this part of the neighborhood. Now that they've issued the all clear for people to leave, is there anyone else outside his or her home there that you can see?
What are you seeing? Hold on, Lisa, one second, please. Okay, so police are running with children in their arms towards us right now. These are little kids. These are children now. It's a little girl, 5 years old, and it's a very little child. This is maybe a 3 or 4 year old. I have to get closer to this, and it is two very small children.
And where are they, Jim, right now? I mean, without
they're in the parking lot. They're safely behind the building, but they're in a parking lot, and they're just they're being carried like you would carry a baby, but they're a little too big for that. So
right.
I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, and again, and you don't want to fault anybody. I mean, obviously, this is, again, it's just a case of human nature. You've been cooped up all day, and the next thing you know, you're told you can go outside, and then this happens. So our sources now are telling us that this suspect is the 19-year-old they've been looking for the last I guess, day now. All day and all night, they've been looking for this guy. He is the one. We believe he is now hiding either under or in a boat in a backyard. He is completely surrounded. And at last check, CBS is reporting that he is alive. And my sources who have been a part of this, they have been telling me they want this guy alive more than anything because they want to get all the information they can out of him to see what the motivation was and perhaps to see if there are more people that are associated with that attack that took place at the Boston Marathon than just these two brothers. Were they instructed to do it? Was it something they wanted to do? These are all these questions are being asked by a lot of people right now, and authorities would love to have the answers to those.
And this is, again, that satellite image we've been putting up just to give you a sense. First, what police were up against as they launched this search in this part of the Watertown neighborhood, but then specifically for you to see that boat. What we're hearing from our sources, Joe Shortsleeve hearing it from Mayor Menino, we're getting it from a number of sources. They have him surrounded in that boat, and as CBS is reporting, that he is alive. The question now, can they get him out of there alive while protecting everybody in this neighborhood? They've been making every effort to do that. We're hearing Jim Armstrong describing the lengths they're going to just to protect civilians who may be outside their homes now. You know, if this had happened a couple of hours ago, chances are everybody would have been inside because police and officials in the area had asked that everybody stay inside their home while police conducted these door-to-door searches. Those were lifted earlier this evening, not long ago, and no sooner did they lift that request than we saw the helicopters back overhead, and Jim described seeing this enormous police presence tearing up the street to the neighborhood that you're seeing here, where again we understand they have the bombing suspect, Johar Tsarnaev, cornered in a boat in a backyard.
And monitoring social media, somebody was sending me a message saying, well, can they use a water cannon to get him out? You know, it's a great idea. You got to understand, it's still a very fluid situation, and what police really have to do now. One, they need to maintain the safety for themselves, and they need to preserve the safety of everybody around them, the people living in that neighborhood. That's first and foremost. And second is, if they're going to try and take this guy alive, they have no idea if he has booby-trapped himself with a bomb wrapped around him, or if he has other bombs he plans to use. In either case, they take that into account, and they need to be very careful here, because last night, when they were being pursued from Cambridge up into Watertown, they were throwing these makeshift devices out the car window, and they were exploding with the pursuing cars behind them. And, you know, we understand that today, and we're getting more information. There were a number of officers that were hurt. I mean, we didn't hear about serious injuries, but they were hurt nonetheless. And you just wonder, when did that happen? Was that a piece of shrapnel? Was it something that you tripped and
fell? Our continuing coverage now goes to CBS News and WCBS-TV reporter Lou Young, who is in Youngstown, Watertown, Massachusetts.
Vehicles head down Franklin and then heard two series of shots. He called them automatic weapons fire, and then on second thought, on reflection, considered that perhaps it was just a lot of gunfire. But there were two distinct bursts of gunfire, two distinct volleys. And then the units that had left after the news conference about 6 o'clock or so came rushing back. Many police units are here on Mount Auburn right now. There is a police line going up. We are not being allowed any closer, and that is really all we know. But the witnesses seem to confirm what the initial reports indicated, that shots indeed had been fired and that there was a man in the boat. The aerials of that address indicate there is indeed a boat behind that house, as you indicated. I can't say any more than that, but I can tell you that there had been a period after the governor and the colonel from the state police spoke that the police seem to be leaving, and they returned in force, and they are back here now, and there are lots of flashing lights on Mount Auburn Street here in Watertown.
Lou Young of WCBS-TV. Lou, thank you very much. Bob Orr has new information from his sources. Bob?
Just a couple of notes of caution, Scott, and a note of clarification. We have to be somewhat careful in some of the details we're able to give you, because the one thing we do not want to do and will not do intentionally by all means is we don't want to give away any kind of police operational information that the suspect might be able to monitor. We don't want to be party to that, so we're going to go real slow here. The other thing, we've been showing you this aerial satellite map, which we took from Bing Maps of the location 67 Franklin Street with the boat there circled. And we pointed out that the boat has a covering, but I just want to be real clear. This is not a satellite photo from the moment, and we're not sure if the boat right now is covered with a tarp or not. This obviously was taken during cold weather months, so I just want to make sure we put all our cards on the table. I just talked a short time ago to a senior law enforcement official who is waiting, like we are, frankly, for some kind of confirmation from the scene. But I think there is some optimism here that this is the real deal. We might be looking at, and I say might be looking at, the end game. This is going to take a while, though. I want everyone to understand, because at this point, if in fact the officials there, if the FBI and the Boston officials, if they feel, if they can determine to certainty that they've got a suspect, particularly an armed suspect, in that boat, once they have the forces safely arrayed, they will make a very, very calculated and careful approach. This is a man, if it is the suspect they're looking for, who has already been connected to a terrorist attack, bombings that have killed and maimed people, also to the shooting death of a police officer last night, the wounding of another. So he has no boundaries and has shown no mercy, and so law enforcement officials have to take all precautions, Scott.
Bob, we'll be standing by to come back to you when you have new information. Thank you. Let us show you now who we're talking about. There's a photograph that we have of the immediate aftermath of the bombing. There's the suspect there that you see on your screen, 19-year-old Joe Carson.